We are delighted for each of you from various places being with us on today. If you are a guest, a very honored guest who has not yet said yes to the Lord and has become a member of the body of Christ, we pray that your experience in worship today with us will move you, cause you to move closer in that direction. We welcome you. Thank you again, Brother Kinfolk, for opening a window into our lesson on today. I wait for you at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19. And the many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary. I'm at the wrong place. Hold on. Can I get somebody to help me read?
1 Corinthians 15 and 19.
Beginning at verse 19.
And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world.
Keep reading through verse 26, please.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
All right. Let's study together from the subject, the last word. The last word. And as we think about this together, have you ever been in a conversation, perhaps a debate or even an argument with a person who is determined to get the last word? Of course, I'm having flashbacks about previous conversations I've had. Could it be that you've noticed, like me, that some people just feel a need to always get the last word, no matter what? I read of a guy who thank you, bro, who, when he got married, he made it clear to his wife, look, honey, if ever an argument arises down the road in our relationship, I want for you to appreciate and understand that I get the last word. And then the story went on to say later that he had to admit that most of the time his last words were, yes, dear, whatever you say. Of course, at least he got the last word, right? We like to, some of us, get the last word in because we think it means that we've won the battle, if not the war. But it usually means nothing of the sort. We're living in a world that thinks it has gotten the last word. And I'm here today to affirm that that's just not true. Jesus got the last word when he was raised from the dead Sunday morning by the power of God. Today, the world celebrates so-called Easter on Sunday, but we celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. The fact that 2,000 plus years ago, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, he did something that has never been done before or since. After dying a violent death on a cruel Roman cross, he was laid in a cold and a dark grave. And all of his enemies believed at that moment that it was over and that their word was indeed the last word. But nothing could have been more further from the truth. And that's because, kinfolk, on the third day, I said on the third day, the stone securing the tomb was rolled away and Jesus of Nazareth got up, was raised up, victorious over death. This is why, beloved, we are here today, not to honor a dead man or just to remember a good teacher, but to worship the living Son of God who arose from the dead, King of Kings and Lord of all.
Amen.
Resurrection Sunday, church, is proof, it's evidence that all those things that we thought might have had the last word in our life doesn't have the last word at all, at all, at all, at all. And it's all because of the resurrection. So for a few moments, let's look at the verses that were read and a few others in which the Apostle Paul speaks at length to the significance, to the meaning of the resurrection. And we ought to know there were some who did not and perhaps still do not believe in the possibility of a bodily resurrection. They would insist that Jesus did not physically rise from the dead. A spiritual kind of ghostly type of resurrection in which he moved into what they call the next realm. And we will too. Well, I submit to you, that's no resurrection at all. Paul basically says in the context of 1 Corinthians 15, that's not how it happened at all. He emphasized that Christ physically got up from the grave. On Friday, he was as dead could be. Then on Sunday, his body was alive again. Not a spiritual body, not a ghost, but his physical body that still bore the wounds of his crucifixion. A body that could be seen and heard, touched. With this physical body, he walked along the road and ate fish sandwiches with his disciples. Yes, it was a physical body, but it was more than an earthly body. It was a resurrected body. I brought my own amen. And it was made alive by the Spirit of God. A body that will experience death never again. And Paul said that Christ was the first to experience this miraculous resurrection. And all who follow him, that's you and me, will experience it too someday. The physical resurrection is a foundational doctrine of New Testament Christianity because of what it means. It means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. The way, John 14:6, the truth and the light. He said, no man comes to the Father but by him. And he proved it by overcoming death. Listen to me closely, please. No other religious leader has done that. None. There is nothing in this world whose power is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. Not even death could hold him. So when you believe the resurrection of Christ from the dead, that changes everything. It changes everything about how you see the world around you. It changes how you perceive the meaning of your existence in the world around you. It changes everything about how you see your day-to-day and everyday life. The resurrection changes everything because it changes who really gets the last word. Can you hear me, church? Today, we consider the resurrection and what it means for us. And I want to talk about three last words that turn out to be not so nearly last after all. The resurrection means that our troubles don't get the last word. Look at verse 19 of our text. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, why would Paul say that? He's not saying that there's nothing good in this life. He's not saying that we have no reason for joy, for happiness, for fulfillment in this life. He's not saying that we don't experience answers to our prayers, that we don't see miracles take place. He's not saying that we don't receive blessings in this life. But he does acknowledge that in the life of a disciple, it's often tough, turbulent. And for those who are serious about following Christ, there is a price to be paid. And sometimes a hefty price. I wonder, can we talk for a minute? One who follows Jesus has struggles in this life that others simply don't have. We kind of self-impose a standard on ourselves, or at least we should, that others simply don't upon themselves. See, living the Christian life involves an investment now that does not fully pay off until later. We live with an eternal perspective. We make counterintuitive choices. Feelings do not determine how we live or what we do. We forgive when we could seek revenge. We turn the other cheek when we can fight back. We sacrifice for the good of others when we can spend our money looking out for number one. And we do these things because we're making an investment in eternity. If there is no eternity, then why on earth would we make choices, would we make decisions that makes life more difficult for ourselves? When we go through challenges, when we go through struggles, when we go through trouble and trials and pain and turmoil, we need to remind ourselves that our situations, our troubles, do not get the last word. Jesus does. Even when life is at its worst, I said, even when life is at its worst, we can face each day knowing that this world is not all there is. The songwriter would say, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. This world does not have the final say on anything, or should I say nothing. Jesus got the last word on Resurrection Sunday morning 2,000 plus years ago, and this is why we celebrate the resurrection. So when we forgive, when we love, when we serve, when we show mercy, when we obey, when we love, when we take a stand for what's right, ain't nothing pointless or futile about that. Every day we endure, every day we persevere, every day we triumph over struggle is an investment in our future that God has planned from before the foundation of the world for you and me. Not only further down the road in this life, but light years down the road in our eternal future. Say amen when you can. So whatever trouble, whatever trial, et cetera, you may be facing right now, coronavirus, loss of loved ones, and on we could go. You can be sure that it will not get the last word. We can't avoid trials. Amen. Can't avoid struggle and stress and tension and situations, but we can outlast and overcome them because Jesus got up from the grave 2,000 years plus ago. All right? You didn't like that one. Number two. The resurrection means that sin does not get the last word in your life and mine. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say sin? The resurrection of Christ reversed reverse. Reverse the curse that Adam brought on the human race. Through disobedience in the garden. You and I, we have all made the same choice that Adam made. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans 3. For we have all sinned. Not y'all. We. That means you and me. Have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. A few verses prior to that, Paul says, there is none righteous. No, not one. And then the prophet of old, Isaiah, would say this. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to their own way. Beloved, this is the human dilemma. We've all sinned. We've all been broken by sin. And every life bears the evidence of that brokenness. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the consequences of our bad choices. We have no choice but to say, along with Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We cannot deny it. It would be like a swimmer saying, I never got wet. But notice how Isaiah closes Isaiah 53 and verse 6. But he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. While Jesus was dying alone in our place on the cross late that Friday afternoon, all the sins of everyone that everyone has committed, yours and mine, and the sins of everyone who lived or who has ever lived, were somehow, some way placed upon him. He paid whatever price these sins deserve. You gotta understand that sin costs. It ain't free. Don't mix up salvation with sin. That just because salvation is free, we have a license to go on sinning. Don't mix that up. Sin costs. There are consequences and repercussions that come after that are inescapable. He paid whatever price these sins deserve. And any power that these sins may have had, any claim that these sins may have had on you and me, died when Jesus died. As he died on the cross, he would say, it is finished. Can you hear it? In other words, paid in full. Paid in full, I said. There may be some here today for whom sin has made a wreck of your life. I remember not too long ago, every nickel I had went towards the purchase of drugs and alcohol. Maybe you're here and you've left behind a trail of broken relationships. I know I messed up some of those myself. Damaged relationships, a trail of pain and a trail of failures, broken promises. Sin wreaked havoc in your life. Here's what I want you to know. The resurrection means that sin does not get the last word in your life or mine. That's good. Ain't that good news? That's mighty good news. Jesus does. Listen to John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away. Who took away and who takes away the sins of the whole world. Through his death, listen to me, church. Through his death on the cross, Jesus destroyed the penalty for sin. When he was pierced in his side, blood came out, and that blood was the ransom. Set us free. From the slavery. From slavery to sin. Now that I'm covered in the blood, I don't have to sin like before. Praise God. Through his death, through the resurrection, through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus destroyed the power of sin. Do you know what this means? However sin has tormented and messed up your life in the past, you can be set free. Let's go to Romans. Come on, help me read. Help me read, preacher. Romans 6. Start at verse 1. This is a chapter in the New Testament every Christian ought to be familiar with. Mark it down. Romans chapter 6, verse 1.
Romans 6 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?
Shall we go ahead and continue in sin?
That grace may abound?
In other words, just because we are living under grace, do we have a license? Does grace give us a license to sin anytime we want to read?
God forbid. How shall we?
I wish I could put my Lopez twist on that, but I'm on camera. Read.
How shall we that are dead to sin?
That are dead? Sin,
live any longer therein.
You notice what not, he said, right? Well, you notice what he said, right? Mm-hmm. Dead to sin. Mm-hmm. Not dead in sin. We were dead in sin. But something happened, and now we are dead to sin. What happened, preacher? Verse 3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized.
So many of us as were baptized. What happened? We were baptized
into Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
We're baptized into his death.
We were baptized into his death. Now, that word baptized is an interesting word. It was a word that was used for dying. You know, it's when you
bring it down.
Fabric and you say you put it in purple dye. The fabric took on the qualities, the color of the dye, and it was visible. When you and I were baptized into Christ, we were dyed with Christ. So now we ought to be looking like him. We ought to be walking like him. We ought to be thinking like him. He says, therefore, verse 4,
We are buried with him.
We are buried with him.
By baptism into his death.
By baptism.
Into death.
Into death.
That light as Christ was raised up from the dead.
Christ was raised up from the dead.
By the glory of the Father.
By the glory of the Father.
Even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
All right. I just shared with you what he's saying there. Keep reading.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
Read.
We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
See, when we were baptized into Christ, the same power that raised up Christ from the dead raised us up. So now we are alive in the Spirit. Lord have mercy.
Mm.
We now have resurrected bodies. We are living resurrected lives. That's why he says we walk in the newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Our old man, before baptism, our old man was crucified in baptism with him.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
The body of sin might be destroyed.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
We ain't slaves to sin no more. We shouldn't be sinning because we have to. Hello.
Ooh, mercy.
For he, verse 7, let's be
for he that is dead is freed from sin.
For he that is dead is set free.
Free.
From the slavery to sin. I ain't a sin slave no more, and mercy. You ain't either.
Mercy.
I may not understand what your reasons are for what we do, why we do what we do, and you may not understand what my reasons are, but one thing we know is we ain't slaves to sin no more. We be free.
Yeah.
Verse 8.
Now, if we be dead with Christ.
Now, if we be dead with Christ.
We believe that we shall also live with him.
We believe that we should also live with him.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more.
Christ being raised from the dead die no more.
Death hath no more dominion over him.
All right. Drop down to verse 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace.
That's my point, beloved. That's my point. Sin don't tell us we have to sin no more.
Lord have mercy.
Because we were died with Christ. Mm. I hope that's all right. So no matter how much noise sin may be making in your life right now, today, no matter how much you may be losing the battle right now, today, please remember Resurrection Sunday means that sin never ever gets the last word.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Got it.
Has the last word. And let me close. Because I'm getting all excited and I'm getting glad attacks all at one time for different reasons. Not only does our trouble, and not only does our sin not get the last word, but no enemy will ever get the last word. No enemy. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse number 25. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 25. I like this one. Read for me. You there yet?
Yeah. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
For he must reign. How long?
Till he hath put all enemies.
Till he put all enemies.
Under his feet.
I said, y'all don't feel me. No enemy will ever, ever get the last word.
No weapon. Yes, sir.
Now, who are Jesus's enemies? It's certainly not people, right? Because the Lord loves people. He died so that all people, the world might be saved. No. His enemies are the real enemies of those of us who are living in a fallen world that have not yet been, well, they're still our enemies. Sin is our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. Fear.
Yeah.
Corruption.
Yeah.
Pain, misery, jealousy, envy, greed, violence, abuse, hate, and every ugly thing you can think of. Eventually, he will put them all under his feet.
Good news.
Verse 26.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed.
That shall be destroyed
is death.
Can we talk for a minute? Isn't death what we fear the most?
The most. Amen.
Is it not death that causes us more pain than anything else?
Yes. Amen.
Isn't death what makes us feel most alone and afraid and vulnerable and helpless? Death, the final enemy, is also at last going to be destroyed. To those of us who are without faith, to those of us who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he died and was buried and that he rose again on the third day, life on earth may very well appear to be not much more than a series of random events leading us to a pointless journey to the grave. Let's not pretend either otherwise, beloved. We are all heading to the cemetery. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't no doubt about that. But there is some good news.
Yeah.
The journey, your journey and my journey, does not end at the cemetery.
Preach, Lopez. Yes, sir.
The graveyard is not our final destination. Death, along with every other enemy we face, does not get to have the last word. Jesus gets that. Even over death. Because through the power of the resurrection, he conquered it all. I'm so glad that the word of God has much to say about how you and I ought to live in the here and now. Amen. But it also Amen. Has a lot to say about how we live in the sweet by and by. Amen. Not just the here and now, but the by and by too. And isn't that what promised to every faithful disciple? To every faithful follower of Jesus? You and I have seen, we can testify about the destruction that cancer can do. We've seen up close what crime can do, what racism can do, what war can do, what coronavirus can do and is doing, what drug. We've seen up close the destruction that takes place in this life. But we must remember that they do not represent the final chapter of the book. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, let's take a peek, because this is a spoiler alert. Verse 4, Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away, read, preacher,
all tears from their eyes.
All tears.
And there shall be no more death.
There shall be no more death.
Neither sorrow.
No sorrow.
No crying.
No crying.
Neither shall there be any more pain.
Y'all didn't read that again, because we act like we didn't hear that. There shall be no more death.
No sorrow.
No sorrow.
No crying.
No crying.
Neither shall there be any more pain.
No more pain.
For the former things.
See, you know what I've learned? If you haven't been crying, it's going to be difficult to appreciate going to a place where you won't have to cry no more.
It's a word. Yeah.
If you haven't really experienced some pain, Lord have mercy.
Mercy.
Woo. Most of the time, if you're like me, you pray for your pain to go away. Hello? You pray for God. Well, I do. God, if you're not going to move this pain from me, then move me away from it. Just put some distance between it and me. Beloved, the last word belongs to Jesus. The resurrection means that our troubles don't get the last word. Our sin don't get the last word. Amen.
Amen.
And no enemy, preacher said just now, no weapon formed against you will prosper.
That's right.
Let me close by saying, who is going to have the last word in your life? I'm in your living room now. I'm on the table. I'm in the chair sitting right next to you. Will your trials get the last word? Will your sin get the last word? Are we going to allow death to get the last word? Jesus has the last word over life, over death, over sin, over it all. My encouragement to you, let us, everyone at the sound of my voice, let us give the last word to Jesus. Let's give Jesus the last word in our lives, and let's do it right now. Let's do it today. You remember, as we extend somewhat of an invitation, you remember in John chapter 11, there was another resurrection that took place. Jesus had three friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you remember how he was traveling and he got news that Lazarus was sick, and they sent for him to come, but he sent bad news, word that I ain't coming right now. I'll be there in 2 days. You ever had a situation when you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you waited and you waited and you waited, and and it seemed like the Lord didn't show up, and you're wondering, well, where are you? Never had a situation like that? Well, at any rate, when Jesus arrives a few days later, are you in John chapter 11? Let's read some of that. I'm still closing. You got to give me a minute to close.
Yes, sir. Where you want to start?
You got to give me a minute to close. Start at about verse 20.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house.
Mary sat still in the house. Maybe you think Mary knew something that Martha didn't know? Read.
Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.
Then said who unto Jesus?
Then said Martha unto Jesus.
Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my Jesus, you're late. I thought you was an on-time God. Lord, when are you going to take away this virus? What are you waiting for? I know you got the power to do it.
But I know.
That even now.
Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her,
thy brother shall rise again.
Your brother shall rise. Your brother getting up.
Martha said unto him, I know that.
Because I got the last word on that.
Well.
And he got the last word on that. Read verse 24.
Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
I know he shall rise again in the resurrection, but surely he ain't getting up right now. Read.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
The resurrection.
And the life.
I am the resurrection. And the life.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Listen, I hope you can see this. I'm getting to my invitation. Jesus has so much power that even in death, he can create life.
Wow. That's a word.
And you know why? See, when he said this, he still had to face death. Which means you and I still have some debts to face.
Where are you preaching now? Amen. Yes, sir.
Y'all don't feel me. You and I listen, church. We're gonna lose some more loved ones.
Lord have mercy.
We're going to lose our jobs every now and then. Sometimes the car just going to go dead. But it does not mean that because the situation is dead, that Jesus cannot create new life.
Say that.
Amen.
Jesus said, your brother shall rise again.
Yeah. And whosoever liveth.
And the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And he that believeth in me, though he were dead,
yet shall he live.
Is he talking about physical death? I don't think so because we still got some deaths to face.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26.
And whosoever liveth
and believeth in me
shall never die.
Lazarus died again, didn't he? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't just talking about physical death. He's connecting life here and now to eternal life in the sweet by and by. Yes, he's talking about life here, but that ain't all of it. That's just part of it. His resurrection power begins now. We will face some setbacks. We're going to face racism. We're going to face coronavirus and more. If God blesses us to live, we're going to face more challenges. People are going to die in our lives, but we will overcome. Because he who lives and believes in Jesus will never die.
Hallelujah.
Merciful Jesus.
So the question now becomes, believest thou this? Do you believe that Jesus has the last word in your life over your troubles? Do you believe that Jesus has the last word in your life over your sin? Do you believe it? Verse 27. She said unto him, read.
Verse 27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
I believe that thou art the Christ.
I believe that thou art the Christ.
The Son of God.
The Son of God.
Which should come into the world.
Do you believe, based on what you have heard concerning the resurrection, that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe him to the point where you trust him for your future outcome? Because if you hear and you have not yet believed in Christ, but today you want to give him the last word in your life, then that would necessitate that you be willing to repent. Mm-hmm. That you be willing to turn from your old ways. Be willing to confess, like even Mary is doing here, I believe that you are the Christ, and be baptized, be dyed with Jesus in water, get covered in the blood, and then be raised, be resurrected to walk in the newness of life. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. If that is your desire, get up in the chat room and let your request be made known. But if you are a child of God, my encouragement to you is to live by hope. Don't despair. Watch out now. Coronavirus, we're losing lives. People are dying. But don't give up. Let's not give up. Let's not give in. Amen. Can I read one more passage? Help me, preacher.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Go to Romans 5. I'm closing right now. Romans 5, verse 3. You ought to mark this verse in your Bible. You ought to mark this verse. Matter of fact, we'll probably talk about it on Wednesday. Romans chapter 5, verse 3.
And not
somebody
only
says
so,
never. That's Queenie saying never. And not only so,
but we glory in tribulations also.
We glory in our troubles also.
Knowing that tribulation
because,
worketh patience.
Watch it now. We know. We know they don't have the last word. They work patience. That's endurance.
Mm-hmm. And patience, experience.
And patience, experience.
And experience.
And
hope.
Experience hope. But what does hope do? Do you see what hope is? Hope is endurance. Hope is not a, it's not a feeling. It's an action.
Yeah.
Let's endure trouble with hope. Let's endure the havoc that sin sometimes make in our lives with hope. Let's endure dealing with cancer. Let's endure with hope. We don't quit. We don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give in. Endure with hope. And let me tell you why. I'm closing. Because today's verdict is based on circumstantial evidence. Do you hear me? What we can see with the naked eye is only surface. our hope is built on what we know from the Word of God, based on our relationship with God. Our hope is based on insider information. You know how they do on the stock market? Somebody gives them a tip, they get some insider information, and then they go and invest in that particular stock, and next thing you know, you're filthy rich. This is insider information. We expect that the verdict that we see today is going to be reversed, and that Jesus is at work behind the scenes by way of resurrection power, working all things together for your good and my good. One day, he may appear like he's not right on time, but one day, he's going to say, come forth, Sister Faulkner, and he gonna call your name. He's gonna say, come forth, Finfolk. He's gonna say, come forth, Maestro. He's gonna say, come forth, birthday boy. And you gonna get up.
Wow.
You gonna get up and live forever and ever in eternity with God. Preacher, what's your point? Be empowered today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to live with expectation that the verdict of tomorrow will reverse the verdict of today. If there be a need in your personal life, in your individual life, to make a response to this message, sometimes the Lord will speak right into your heart. And it ain't because Brother Lopez is preaching and all of that. He preaching so good and he preaching a good sermon. No. The Spirit of God connects with your spirit.
Yes, sir.
And taps into a need inside of your spirit that you didn't even know was there.
Just tired.
And it moves you to want to make a response.
I'm gonna take
if that be your situation, you have the opportunity to do so now as we together sing a song of invitation. I turn it over to Tyrone. God bless you.